So, but it's good to be with you this morning. I drove up this morning, and it's always good to come this way, and good to hear what's going on with Tony. It was such a shock when it was not quite 2 weeks after I was with you before that Tony had his heart attack. And I saw him in the hospital on Labor Day when I came up, and I'm preaching this afternoon over in Sanger for an ordination service, and then I have to go up into Fresno, and so I'll stop by and see Tony later on this evening. But it's good to be with you. This morning, the word the Lord laid on my heart, calling it Dressed for Action, and our passage today opens with the words, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning." Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. In other words, it's a direct exhortation from God to his people. We're to be constantly ready and constantly watchful, because we don't know what God is bringing our way. He knows. We don't have to fear whatever might come, because God has ordained it, and God is in the midst of it, and God will carry us through it. We don't understand why. We don't often get the answer to the question why. But what we get is the opportunity to trust in God, to hold fast to God, to know that God is with us, to know that God is faithful, to know that God is loving and caring, and he will see us through. Jesus was speaking to the disciples in this passage, and ultimately he's speaking about his final return. But the principle stays the same. Always ready. Always watchful. You see, because as we enter into life, as we go about each day, if we're not ready, if we're not watchful, we're thrown into worry and anxiety, and we're thrown into, a Chicken Little mentality. We get to looking around at things, and we start wondering what's going on, and we forget that God is in control of all things. And we just give up hope. So today, as we look at our passage, we're going to see what a great blessing it is that God has for each of us individuals, and for as a congregation, a church of Jesus Christ. God has great things if we'll just be watchful and looking for them. So let's take a look at our passage here today. We're going to be Luke chapter 12, verses 35 to 40. Hear the word of the Lord. "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. And if he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." The word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord our God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how you speak to our hearts, how you minister to our very spirits, God, in ways that we can't even begin to comprehend, as you communicate truth to our hearts. Lord, you say faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. You tell us that your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword to the dividing of soul and spirit, bones and marrow, and to the revealing of the intentions of the heart. So come and do the work in each of us that we need. For Lord, you speak to us and you use the same words, and yet you work different things in each of us. So let our hearts be open. Let our minds be clear and focused. May we see you and hear you. And may we be transformed through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's look at readiness. This whole idea of being ready. See, being ready involves intentionality. Being ready involves having to prepare, having to sit down and think about what is going to happen. Readiness by its very nature means that there is a plan that is in place. So many people go through life coasting. So many people go through life drifting. You know, one of my favorite movies, I like old movies, and one of my favorite movies is African Queen. And one of the questions that Katharine Hepburn asked Humphrey Bogart, I can't think what their names were in the movie, but one of the questions is, well, can't we just move the boat out into the middle of the river and let the river take us down? He says, no, we have to be moving faster than the river, because if we drift, we're at the river's mercy. And honestly, if you were to take a stick and throw it in the water at Lake Itasca in northern Minnesota and expect that it's just going to stay in the river and float all the way out into the Gulf. Yesterday, I learned that it takes 3 months for a drop of water to go from Lake Itasca to the Gulf. But that drop of water might make it all the way, but that stick is going to get stuck in a side, a little backwater. It's going to be caught in an eddy. It's going to be washed up on the bank. And for something like that to make it all the way is next to impossible. And if we just drift in life, we're going to get stuck on the bank. We're going to get caught in a backwater. We're going to get caught in a little whirlpool and just spin and spin and spin and go nowhere. But we must be ready. When emergencies arise or an unseen event occurs, if we don't have a plan, the result is panic and chaos. See, being ready doesn't mean that we live a life of worry, though. Some people think if you're, you know, constantly waiting for something bad to happen, that's not what readiness is. Some people live with their life with their glass half empty. I fall into that category a lot. My wife reminds me of this often. Man, if you ever, in your life, if you ever wonder what the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds like, it sounds a lot like your wife. But she'll remind, Dave, you know, things aren't this dire. Things aren't that bad. But when we come, we don't have to worry. How many of you gentlemen were Boy Scouts or had sons that were Boy Scouts? What's the Boy Scout motto? Be prepared. How about Coast Guard? Any Coast Guard veterans? Shallow water sailors for you in the Navy? What's the motto of the Coast Guard? Semper paratus, always ready. The point of preparation for readiness is you don't have to enter into worry. You don't have to enter into panic. You don't have to let your life become chaotic, because you have that plan. You're in a state of readiness. No matter what happens, you're ready. That's why Jesus is telling us, or that's what he is telling us when he says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. Be ready. Be prepared. Not in a life of anxiety, but just in a life of readiness. Be like the firefighters who are always a breath away from that alarm going off on the wall, where they have to jump into their gear, get on that fire engine, and go out to whatever it is to respond to what's happening. Meanwhile, firefighter's best day is to sit in the firehouse, maintain the engine, make sure their equipment's in good shape, play cards, work out, cook, eat, sleep, and go home. That would be the best day for a firefighter. But they know that the alarm might go off. And so they're relaxed, but when the alarm goes off, they're prepared. They're ready. You know, I understand we've got military pilots here, too, from Lemoore. Do they still have the ready room on base where you stand ready? Yeah, military pilots. I think of back in World War II, you know, that they were always ready to scramble. They couldn't be scrambled from home or from someplace else. They stayed in the ready room. And so there was a plan. You see, don't wait until God shows up to get yourself ready. But be in a state of readiness. Be ready to be used of God. Be ready to respond to whatever it is that happens, that you might be prepared to be a minister for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul tells Timothy, be ready in season and out of season. You see, there's a vibrant, living, intentional readiness on our parts. So when Jesus enters the picture, we're ready and prepared to go into action. That's what readiness is about. You see, being ready means expecting the unexpected. You especially know what that's about right now. With what's happened with Tony, Annette was telling me there's others have been in automobile accidents. There's been people in and out of the hospital in a much greater regularity than normal since August. But you're prepared. And it told me about the prayer gathering you had out here as soon as word came about Tony's heart attack. And right out here in front of the church. And you were ready and prepared and going to God, not running around. Not, of course, you wonder, what's going to happen? How are things, is Tony going to be okay? Are things going to be all right here? You think the same thing with the other folks who have been in, you know, experiencing these kind of tragedies and things that come along. But as you stand strong, prepared, and ready, it doesn't throw you into panic, but it connects you with God. You get connected. We expect normalcy, whatever that is. What is it? Irma Bombeck said that normal is just a setting on a clothes dryer. You know, we expect normalcy, but we know the expected will come. We expect that our lives are going to be, honestly, when you wake up in the morning, you don't wake up dreading what's going to happen. I hope you don't wake up dreading what's going to happen in the day. We wake up in the morning expecting roses and sunshine. We wake up in the morning expecting we're going to have a day with no resistance where we can just glide along and enjoy. But we all know that that's not the way life works. We all know that there's going to be bumps in the road. There are going to be obstacles. There will be detours. There will be things that come up that stand in the way. But if we are expecting the unexpected, we don't let it throw us. Because we're ready, we're prepared. See, Jesus lived his life in a state of readiness. You know, we read often about how he got off early in the morning to pray. But I can almost guarantee you he did not have an angelic briefing every morning. They didn't come down from heaven and say, this is your itinerary for the day, Lord, and this is what you're going to be doing, this is what you're going to encounter. No, but he just went and spent time with God. He went and spent time with his Father, just in offering himself up to him, enjoying the fellowship with him, so that when Something happened in the course of the day, which it did. Something always seemed to be happening. He was ready. He was prepared. You know, I think the account of the woman who had the discharge of blood for 12 years, you find it in Luke chapter 8. And in this passage, we all know, if you remember the story, a leader of the synagogue named Jairus came to Jesus and said, Lord, come, my daughter is at the point of death. Come pray for her. Lay hands on her that she might be healed. And so he goes, but there's a huge crowd around him. And as he's going, this crowd is bumping and jostling and whatnot, but this woman who's been sick for 12 years, spent all her money on doctors, and she's only gotten worse, thinks, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And so she worms her way through the crowd, which she shouldn't have been doing because with the discharge of blood, she was unclean. But even so, she knew that to get to Jesus was the only way she was going to get relief from this. And she goes up and she touched the hem of his garment, and the scripture says she was healed instantly. And then Jesus says this in verse 46. He says, Jesus said, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. Jesus was ready. Jesus was ready. Even in he wasn't paying attention, but this came up behind and somebody touched him and grabbed the tassel on his prayer shawl and just said, I know if I do this, I'll be healed. And through that faith came up and touched him. So not only was it unexpected, it was unseen. But he knew that God had used him because he was ready. He was prepared. Yes, prayer time was prep time, but it was just to be prepared and ready for the day. And that's how we're to be ready. Spending time with God, going into your prayer closet, going into that quiet time, whatever, you know, I don't know if you do your quiet time at night, if you do it in the morning, I hope you have a quiet time, I hope you spend time with God. And then you keep that fellowship going all day. But as you go and spend time in prayer and the Word, God will prepare your heart for whatever is coming. We might not see it. We might not know it. We might not understand it. We might not even perceive it. But God will prepare your heart. Well, we need to be ready, but we also need to be watchful. Watchfulness. Jesus reminds us to tune in our spiritual radar. That's what he means by stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. The radar, of course, we know is an early warning system developed in wartime, so we could see enemy planes coming to be prepared to go out and meet them. And there are military personnel to this day whose job it is to sit there and stare at that radar screen and watch that arm go around and around and keep track of what's going on. And that's what we're called to do, not just to sit pointless and waiting and expecting something bad to happen, but to have that watchfulness that we're not only are we ready, but we're watchful. We're keeping an eye on things. It's virtually pointless to be ready if we're not going to be watchful. If you read in the prophet Ezekiel, he talks about being a watchman. The watchman on the wall, the watchman on the tower, keeping track of what's going on. You know, if you have an army that is all prepared, if they're in a state of readiness, if everything is, they've done all their planning, they've done all this, but they're not watchful, it doesn't make a world of difference. Because they're ready to parade. They're ready for inspection. They're ready to look nice. They might even be ready to fire their weapons in some kind of a organized fashion. But they're not ready to meet the enemy. I read a book several years ago. It was a book that came out of the Lincoln Bicentennial in 2009. It was called Lincoln as Commander-in-Chief. No book had ever been written about him as Commander-in-Chief during the Civil War. And the frustration he had with General McClellan, because he loved to parade his troops. He loved to put them in formation. He loved to see them all lined up and organized and ready to go. But when time came for battle, it was always, you know, we're kind of short-handed on men. We probably ought to wait. He wasn't ready and watchful to move into that position of going to battle. We're supposed to be just like the men Jesus refers to in this parable that he tells, waiting for their master to return home so they can be ready when he arrives, waiting to meet Jesus on the way. As a kid, I read the book, The Robe. Remember, the movie came out in the 50s, but it's an old movie, an old book. But it was one of the things I remember from it was every time the character came in and met, he was walking with Peter, I believe it was, and they were traveling. But every crossroads they came to, Peter stopped and looked to see if Jesus might be coming, because he was waiting for that imminent return. But as we go through life, shouldn't we be watching for Jesus? Because we don't know where Jesus is going to show up in our lives. Jesus came as a tiny infant. He lived among us. He lived and died for us. And he rose again, conquering death. He ascended into heaven where he makes intercession for us. He will come again one day for his church to judge the living and the dead. But Jesus comes to us every day in the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus comes to us every day when we have a chance to offer someone a cup of cold water, when we have a chance to feed someone who is hungry, when we have a chance to clothe someone who is naked, when we have a chance to share the truth of the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. But if we're not watching, we miss those opportunities to be Jesus to that person. And to do it, as Jesus says, to do it unto him. Let's consider Philip, just as an example. Philip was one of the seven deacons appointed in Acts chapter 6 when there was a problem in Jerusalem with the distribution of food to the Greek Jews, the widows. And so the deacons, but then there was the great persecution that arose when Paul held the garments and Stephen was stoned. And so now they're being driven out, and Philip is listening to the voice of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord comes to him and says, go down to the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. Listening, being watchful. And so he goes down, and he's standing on the side of the road, and all of a sudden this chariot comes by, an Ethiopian official in it who happens to be reading the scriptures. And it wasn't like he was in the coach and had his Bible open. In those days when they read aloud. And so he's in whatever conveyance this is. It calls it his chariot, but I don't think he's standing, you know, standing up in a chariot like a battle chariot like we think of. But he's there, and he's reading the scripture, and he's reading from Isaiah chapter 53. And Philip says that, or the Lord says to Philip, that's the one. Approach that chariot. So he goes up, and he's running alongside, talking. Imagine that, running alongside and talking. I haven't been able to run and talk at the same time since I was 18. But Philip's running alongside and talking, and says to this man, says, "What do you know what it is you're reading?" He says, "Well, how am I to know? Is he the author here talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else?" And he called Philip up into the chariot, and they sat and they discussed the scripture, and Philip shared the gospel with him. It says in Acts chapter 8, verses 35 and 36, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture from Isaiah 53, he told him the good news about Jesus as they were going along the road. And they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" He was given an opportunity. He was given put into a situation, and he responded. He responded to the call of the Holy Spirit. He responded to Jesus because not only was he prepared, he was watchful. And as a result, the gospel went to Africa. The beginning of the gospel being sent out to the continent of Africa. Because Philip was faithful, he was prepared, and he was watchful. See, the intentionality that it takes to be watchful, the intentionality that it takes to in our readiness. We think, boy, it sounds a lot like work, Dave. It sounds a lot like I'm just needing to be doing this all the time, and how am I going to know what to do with anything else? How am I going to know what is going on other than this? But that's not the way it is. As we're intentional, as we're watchful, if you establish that connection with Jesus at the beginning of the day, or whatever time it is that you spend time with him, you establish that connection, then you keep the channel open so you can hear when Jesus calls. And as we're ready and move forward, we find that the intentionality is truly worth the effort. The outcome for us is that we get to participate in the advance of the kingdom of God. We get to be part of what God is doing. He doesn't need us. He didn't even need to create us. He had perfect unity and fellowship within the Godhead in eternity past. But he chose to create the world. He chose to create us into his own image. And then, because of the fall, had to send Jesus. And then, taking this fallen bunch of people who Jesus redeemed and used them to allow us to be part of what he is doing in the world, allowing us to be part of the advance of the kingdom of God. You know, the scripture says that, or Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." They won't be able to stand against it. And as Jesus conquered death and hell, he broke through the gates of the kingdom of darkness. He has breached the walls. Our job now is just to go in and pillage. But we can't do that if we're not ready. We can't do that if we're not prepared and watchful to see what's coming along the way. See, look what the passage says here about those who are watchful. In verse 37, it says, "Blessed are the servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them." The master himself, Jesus, says he will come and serve us. He serves us by blessing us. He serves us by filling us. He serves us by offering to us full brotherhood, full membership into the family of God. We are adopted sons and daughters of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. He replenishes us. He fills us. He restores us. He tells us, "Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus pulls the weight. Jesus serves us. Matthew 20, Jesus says, "The Son of Man came not to serve, but to be," or "not to be served, but to serve." If we're watchful, if we're prepared, we're not like I almost did on the way in this morning. Driving past, I didn't, but I almost drove past the exit. You know, and that's what we do when we're not watchful and when we're not ready, is we drive by and all we can look is in the rearview mirror and say, "Boy, I missed it." But God has great things for you. God has great things for all of us. But as you have been going through a particularly hard time here, you've stood up and you've weathered this situation. You're still weathering this situation. Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in the long haul of this. You won't have 40 years like Israel did. And even if you did, your shoes wouldn't wear out and your clothes wouldn't wear out. God would be with you. Just be ready. Be prepared. So, here's where I have to ask you some questions. And it's the same questions I ask myself, honestly. We preachers don't just stand up in front and point the finger this way, because you know the old saying, you point this way, you got four pointing back at you. You know, and honestly, this is the kind of thing that I have to ask myself all the time, too. And especially now that I'm not serving in a church week after week. Because that makes it a little easier when it's your job. But I have to ask myself, are you dressed for action with your lamps burning? Are you prepared for what God is going to bring to you today? Are you watchful to see what's coming? Are you living your life in a state of preparedness? And this is the one where, this is a tough question I have to ask myself. Are you drifting? Are you coasting? Are you just kind of letting things happen as they happen? Or are you prepared? Are you ready? We dare not drift past the opportunities the Lord brings us. I challenge all of you today who are part of this congregation, who are part of First Presbyterian Church of Hanford, California, be intentional about staying tuned into God. Be intentional about being committed to readiness and watchfulness. Be ready to be committed to keep yourself awake and see what it is that God is going to do in your midst here, what he's going to do in your community, what he's going to do in each of your lives, because he is calling us to action, and he's calling us to enjoy fellowship with him as we see the kingdom of God moving forward and advancing into the kingdom of darkness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for First Pres Hanford. I thank you for this body of believers, Lord, that is holding fast to you right now. God, you are their anchor. You are their strong tower. You are that tower that they can run into it and be saved. But I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would be intentionally prepared and watchful, that they might be used of you, even in the midst of what the world would see as chaos, what the world would say, why aren't you worrying? Why aren't you fretting and stewing? Why aren't you anxious? That they might respond and say, because we know Jesus is with us. We know that Jesus is ever watchful. We know that Jesus is in control and is carrying us through. So, Lord our God, we pray that we would indeed prepare our hearts, that we would be dressed for action, that we would keep our lamps burning to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.